Let me tell you what you're receiving right now. The papers you're receiving in hand are divided up by each group's response and identified as such, so that you'll have a summary in somewhat condensed fashion of what each group said. The top sheet is a little added item. Four groups took the 13 issues and prioritized them. And so you'll see that issue number one, which had to do with recovering or re-emphasizing a spiritual dimension in our ministry, received first priority from four groups that looked at these issues in that light. Issue number two, you'll see, was given, three groups gave it a second priority rating, and then one gave it a one. The little equal signs, for example, under Paul Stanley's column, you'll see that issue one, two, and five all have one by them, and what they were saying is that there's an equal value in those particular issues. Over under Bob Sheffield's group, you'll see twos with equals by them, and they're saying, in their mind, two and three were items of equal value. So that'll just give you a sense of how four groups looked at these issues and responded to them. Now, on the next page, page number four, these are not quite the same order that I had wanted, but you'll see that what each group did, and I want to take just about 5 minutes here, or 10 minutes. If you have any questions on a statement made by a group that would help you understand what they meant by what we've said here, if you would just simply ask for clarification, and then whoever led that group will respond and with explanation. So before we get into an attempt to discuss the issues that have been raised here, let's simply try to clarify our understanding of what different groups said. So I'll give you a minute to read through those, and if they raise questions in your mind where you need some clarification, just indicate that and address it to the group leader. See, we need another chair for you, Jerry. Oh, there's one over here.
There's one there.
There's one over on this side. Need to ask for clarification on pages really 4 through 8. Then let's look at the first two pages, the synthesis. And you may want to open your notebooks under that dark yellow tab, Task Force. Go past the blue pages, past the white page on discussion group list, past the yellow page on notes, to the white page, discussion groups, morning session, task force issues. And you'll notice there that question one that we asked for a summary was, how can we decentralize effectively and keep the maximum number of staff in the grassroots ministry? How can we decentralize without creating more managerial, organizational, leadership levels? And from what you see on the synthesis, no one responded directly to that question. So that question is left basically unanswered and open as far as input that we received from your group discussions. The question I need to throw to you is that an issue?
I think it would come up as an issue right
Roger, and particularly in clarification of the area supervisor's role, because that represents the greatest number of supervisors. And I think that is not clear for some
Okay. So you feel that fits under the roles area? Would that be true for this group, or is it an area that, would you say that's not really an issue in your particular area of ministry? I'm not going to push discussion, I just would like clarification on it. Okay? We'll probably get it under the area of roles then. Notice then question two, how can we communicate a maximum value on the grassroots ministry? And there are five basic responses that came out as threads that appeared in one way or another in most of the groups. And so you'll see that we're asking, you seem to be saying we need to find a way to secure input and respond to that input from the area reps in terms of our decisions. Where it says number two, lessen external drain on areas, the input that was received from these groups here had to do with examples like headquarters doing fundraising in an area where financial resources were being taken out of an area to serve headquarters instead of headquarters serving the area. So there's a drain on the area from the other levels of the organization. An example came up, conferences that are done locally still return a certain portion of their conference income or whatever, or perhaps offering outside the area, that type of thing. Item three is related to one, focus on their desires and ministries. Item four, leaders must demonstrate that they exist to support their ministries so that at each level of the organization, the leadership there must demonstrate by their actions and words and whatever that they exist to serve those in the field, not vice versa. And this item of trust probably has some relationship to the thought of relational emptiness, I think to use Donald McGilchrist's term, between leader and area rep or DD and FD or whatever the thing is, where they don't sense a close enough relationship to understand communication without having some degree of mistrust about what may be behind it. Now, that seemed to be the common things that emerged as we looked at how to communicate maximum value on the grassroots ministry. It's now time for you to respond to those things, to fill them out, to question whether they're true, to elaborate, if that will help the rest of us to understand what we need to do to keep our focus on the grassroots ministry at every level of the organization. How do we ensure that everything that's going on exists to serve that area rep?
Trust in leadership. I'm not sure I understand what that means.
Okay, would the group that spoke to that bring that, develop that a bit?
Oh, it was my group. No, it wasn't.
I know it's come up often in a variety of ways in different conversations. Don, it may help to use the mic back there.
Roger, from my standpoint, I think that number two is really directly related to the synthesis point number four. And of course, this is personal opinion, but it would seem to me that the issues that the staff are uptight, for example, with headquarters coming in or whatever they are uptight on, are really peripheral issues and indicative of a more direct problem that the leadership, i.e. me or whoever, has stopped giving spiritual leadership, that we have stopped caring and feeding our staff and have been more concerned with the management aspect of that. And when that is done over a prolonged period of time, then I think there is a sense of oppressiveness, morale problems, and every other thing stems from that. So I think somehow or other, if we can leave here with that commitment that we all feel, I think, in terms of at least verbalizing and really give ourselves to the shepherding and caring of our staff, I think that these issues will resolve and that they will, in fact, feel like they are king of their areas.
Maybe some of you could elaborate. What are some things we do that fail to communicate that caring? What you've seen happen that creates more of an organizational business focus than this kind of supporting the man in his ministry? Yeah, go ahead, Rod. Do we have another mic over there somewhere?
I can speak for you on this. Last fall, the old Midwest region put together a Midwest scene, which is an insert.
Hello?
What's on?
You're on.
No, I'm not.
Now I am. Okay, we put together a Midwest insert to the NAB log, and in the insert, we profiled the state directors. That tends to puff and elevate the leadership. I've never seen an area rep puffed in any of our publications. Occasional article about somebody in San Diego, but generally speaking, that doesn't happen.
Good input.
Quite a bit of time that we've spent with area reps and contact staff has just been their families. It hasn't been related to the navigators or to the ministry per se, but just a tremendous amount of time listening, interacting, praying with, praying for, talking about kids. Just they need somebody to talk to about their families. They're tremendously important. And not that we have a lot of wisdom or insight or answers. Mostly just listening. And maybe a few suggestions here and there. But seemed to help some people feel like, hey, somebody back in Colorado really cares. And it's not that the other folks don't care. It's just that often you're covering so many other things that you don't get to the family.
Some of what we're talking about now is addressing the area of shepherding, which we'll get to, but go ahead, Gary.
Along the line of what Skip was saying, Skip came out to our area and spent time with area staff on that very thing. And they were greatly encouraged just to have someone spend 2 or 3, 4 hours with them talking. And I think one of, as we know, one of our greatest resources is the aging staff. And I think one of the... But
at least he didn't say aged staff.
Pairing up one of these people with a field director and letting them help carry the load of shepherding would raise their visibility, plus really use them as resources if the field director could learn how to work with that. So I think under this point here, that would really help to raise the area rep level, plus give them that shepherding that could help solve the problem.
Okay, I'm going to hold others on this because we're moving into the area of shepherding, and we'll get to that more. One of the things that interests me relative to this question, how to keep the value on grassroots ministry, the response number 2 was lessen the external drain imposed by headquarters or other levels of leadership on the areas. How can these levels of leadership, these particular needs from the headquarters that exist for the headquarters, how can we turn and make the headquarters a truly serving, bring it into a truly serving relationship with the areas? I look at that and I think that's a good idea. How do we do that?
I would think one thing is just the thought of where the decisions are made, where we're saying a less drain on the area would be for us helping them in what they want to do, which is primarily what we're talking about, as opposed to their feeling that the primary drift is from the other direction. What the U.S. would decide or what the region would decide, they would have to implement. So basically it's a selling job on them in many ways of selling them to the concept. If we're really going to reverse it, then somewhere it's got to come back from the other direction. It's what their needs are and how can we help them to do that. So the direction really is would require a significant shift, not an absolute shift, but a significant shift that we're responding to them as opposed to them implementing what we have decided to do or we feel the need is.
So you're focusing down toward the last item on this page, question 5, which had to do with some adjustments in decision making.
Yeah, I think that's where the primary, back on Bob's question, the trust in leadership, I think that's where the primary problem lies, is that what decisions are made at what level. And because I think you could say the other way. We need to build a trust in leadership. That means they need to trust us. Well, it's the other way around as well. We need to trust them. And so they need to make the decisions, some decisions to an extent. We need to respond to that. So it's a trust at both. And we may need to demonstrate that.
Roger.
Yes, go ahead.
Was your question about how we could blend headquarters better or communicate headquarters is trying to help them more?
Well, I mean, theoretically, the only reason headquarters exists is to serve the field staff. That's not the perception, obviously, from some of the responses. How can we create a marriage where it truly is existing and it's truly perceived that way?
Well, I think and it relates to what Daryl is saying, but part of that would be to ask them what they want and what they need. The area reps, I think, perceive headquarters oftentimes saying, this is what you need. This is going to be good for you. We've decided this is the way we're going to do this. This is the way we're going to do that. But and that could apply in some administrative areas.
Okay.
Raj, it would be good that when we talk, I'm not sure who headquarters are, because we've got a service function. We have a leadership function. We have an international leadership. So we better, when we're talking, what are we talking about when we say headquarters? Is that the administrative service or?
Okay. Let's throw it out then for you guys. From your perception, from the area rep's perception, who's headquarters?
All the above.
Yeah.
I was referring primarily to administrative aspects.
Is now we've got two responses here. I saw a lot of heads nod both ways, so it'd be helpful if we had several speak to that, just to either reinforce one or say generally it's this. Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
It seems like it depends on the issue, and then the answer to Sheffield's question would, depending on what issue we're on, it would have a different answer. If you group them all together, then it's all of the above, which doesn't help at all.
Okay. Any other comments? Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
In our group, there are several things mentioned. Perhaps you men have more experience with it, but I was impressed with a couple things you said. One of the things that some of the group said that the leadership initiates, but the ARs pay. And they'd like to see that reversed, where the leadership would pay and the ARs would initiate. Something that they've initiated would be paid for by headquarters, whereas it's often other way around. And some of you had brought out several examples of that. And then one question, what has been initiated that would really help the ARs in the field? What have we done lately that really is for the ARs, and that's coming down from above, in a sense, and probably the most in the area of professional and personal development. And then the question we talked about for a while was in the area of they need to feel that they've been helped. The administrative cost goes up, or whether the admin charge goes up, but they sometime need to somewhere need to feel that they're being blessed, they're being helped. And I don't think any of them begrudge certain things that need to be paid, but they need to feel it, that they're being helped by what they're giving into and the leadership structure or the headquarters, whatever it is. So several gave illustrations of where they weren't helped and some where they were helped and they really felt it. So I don't know, maybe that could open up a few more.
I think it'd be helpful if Joyce would make a comment on this from the women's group. Now, the comments I got from them, a lot of them related to roles, but there were things that they said that related to what Paul's been speaking of, it seems to me, in terms of the women's perception of being helped and encouraged and so on. Would you speak to that, Joyce, and maybe one or two would want to comment as well?
I think one of the big issues with the women is just a total clarification of our position, both in a job description, how we fit into the overall, how we fit into each level of navigator leadership, and the type of provision that is made for staff development and a career with the navigators. So it's a very big area that needs to be developed. And I do think that many of the women don't sense a great caring in the way of just personal welfare. So that would also relate to shepherding, to job fulfillment, job security, job motivation. So it's rather broad there, Roger.
Any other comments? Okay, well, I'd like to leave this question number two then. We've identified a few things that are needs. Let's move to question three then. Basically, what we're asking here is what authority does the FD need, which he does not now have or which is ill-defined? How clear is the job is what we're asking. Where does it need clarification? What are areas that we need to address? And it's interesting. I did ask the women to respond specifically to their needs, and headquarters to speak to some of their needs, yet there seemed to be a common thread emerging on the need to clarify roles. And so under question three, you've got a number of issues that surfaced under clarifying roles. Who has the authority to appoint whom came out? Who appoints contact staff, for example, or intern staff or area reps, that kind of thing? Who has the authority to place people in assignments? Where does that lie? Who is the focal point of the ministry? And the question here was specific. Is it the divisional director or the field director? Several related to the idea of if you give us responsibility, give us the authority commensurate with that responsibility. Another area, clarify the expectations. The thought there was, let's not have a hidden agenda. Let's have regular, upfront progress reviews so that we know what is really expected of us and we know how to respond to that. And then finally, when there is no clarification and work expands, overwork creates task orientation and destroys the very thing we're trying to accomplish in becoming more people-oriented in our leadership. Would some of you like to make comments or explanation or ask questions regarding the need for clarifying roles?
On this question about the focal point of the ministry?
Yes.
Not having been in on the discussion, I guess
I would wonder whether, again, I'm not sure what the intent was, I would wonder whether it should be the DD or the FD, that perhaps it should be neither. You talk about the focal point of the ministry, and maybe my response there is just not understanding the question.
Which group specifically raised that issue in that way, and you could clarify it, and then we can have some discussion on it. No groups spoke to that.
You put it down. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was just my idea.
It was Sheffield's group, wasn't it?
What no, question are we on?
That far.
Is your summary right, Roger?
Top page six. And your summary leaves off the key word, I think, leadership. It seems the point was, is the FD or the DD the focus for leadership?
Okay,
for
good.
For leadership.
Would you expand on that a bit, John?
Well, I'd like to, but I wasn't in standing.
Okay.
And what group?
I think he said Stanley.
Toes group here.
I was trying to find what Sheffield said, and he says, "Well,
would you like a member of your group to speak to?"
Yes, so that would be very good.
Which item is John speaking to?
Don?
Yeah, well, which page? He said page six, but where?
We're on page six. The
number three.
Roger.
Last line, number three.
Fred just nominated me. I think the primary point of the question there is that by focal point we meant the focal point of the development of strategy, development of career planning. That idea, where is the focal point of that authority? I don't think that we meant by that question the focal point of the grassroots ministry, et cetera, but I think it was more in the idea of the other issues, a point of authority, placement authority, authority, responsibility, that is
so
the focal
really
point of the ministry at the division, or is the focal point of the ministry at the regions, was
okay.
The fundamental question.
Is that a question that exists in your minds? Where do you feel it lies? Where do you think it should lie?
Lies at the divisional level, and I'm not sure what has changed from
Did you hear Scott's comment?
No. There's a microphone right there.
Please.
If the hello. If it lies at the divisional level, then I'm not sure what's changed. Nothing's changed. It's the same, except now instead of five RDs, we have three DDs, and they live out here rather than being out in the areas.
It seems that one way to think about it, Roger, would be that the focal point of ministry leadership lies at the FD level. The focal point of middle management development lies at the divisional level.
Okay.
And put your dichotomy there.
Would you expand on that just a bit?
There wasn't. That's all I can. No. Yeah, let me rephrase that. Right? It seems like to me what the divisional directors need to be making decisions and actively involved is in the middle leadership, that being, I would guess, be FDs and basically the FD level, or men who are going to move into that role, and where the field directors cutting edge should be would be in the directing of area supervisors and area reps. And the movement of those personnel or the development of those personnel. But for the U.S. or the division, the USLT would need to be involved to be at the middle leadership level if a definition would be field directors and above.
Now back here, Bill.
Yeah, just speaking from the for the central division, I don't think these are issues. I think we've dealt with them, defined them, and have gotten past that. So it may be by division that some of these things are issues.
And how have you defined that in the central division?
I think most of it has moved down to the field director in the region. And the division is not the same as the old Midwest region at all. And the field director has the placement authority and so forth. So I feel it's clear for me.
Okay. I see, Rod, you agree with that. So from your perspective in the central division, that is clear.
Yeah, I think, Roger, on this issue, we're in transition. I would say the central division is unique in that it's the one team that didn't change significantly in terms of the leaders that were there. I think in the new Western division, for instance, we're all getting to know one another. So we haven't even addressed these issues. I'm not sure they're valid issues, but as to how we're going to handle them, we're not ready. We haven't even addressed that yet. And also, I think we need to recognize not only the transition, but some of the field directors are brand new to this level of leadership and responsibility. And just like working with your teenagers who are becoming adults, there is going to be a transition. So it's not going to be nice and clean. I would say that Ray is an exception in that it's probably nice and clean with all the guys because he's comfortable with them and they're comfortable with him. But in my division, I'm not comfortable with myself yet. So,
that's Peter for you. Jeff.
Bob, I'm not sure Ray is an exception. I know in the Eastern Division, all the field directors we have formerly operated with one another on SD teams. Many of us already had area supervisors who are just continuing with some changes in that role now. And the real investment of some of these authority issues that we've been discussing in those men has really given them a new freedom and excited them in our division about the ministry. So I would say for the Eastern Division also that this issue, though not totally resolved, is well on the way to being totally cleared up and that it's not a big stumbling block for us at this time.
Is it at least one division?
Is it all right?
Anything else you want to say, Jeff?
No. Roger, question.
I know where most of those questions are coming from.
a question that I have on that.
Just a comment on this. I'm not sure if we're not asking the right questions or if we're just trying to figure out whether or not we really can be honest with one another, but maybe we're moving there. Go ahead, Don.
The question I have on that issue is from the U.S. leadership team view, are we moving toward a uniform focal point, or have you men made the decision that you're going to leave it up to each division to make their own decision?
I'll let Terry speak to that in just a minute. One of the purposes of this week is to produce some role clarification. And we're after your thinking in order to affect ours. And Terry, would you speak to that?
I think part of the thinking at this point in time has been that the task force evolved the issues from a bottom up. We've looked at it now, and coming back from the top down, that's what the purpose of the week is all about, is to be able to speak to those issues and roles and get what you men do feel. And then the U.S. leadership team will need to finalize that. But by and large, the feeling is clearly at this point that we want to decentralize that. The question is, down. The question is probably not as black and white, and that's why it needs to be decentralized, because in the area of some of the younger field directors that have not had the experience, I'm not sure either whether they want that or should have it. A blanketed statement is probably, we're not in a posture to do that. Each one of the divisions and each one of the regions will have different both numbers of resources and maturity in the resources, and that's the purpose for decentralizing it, is putting the confidence in the men with the resources at that level. So, I don't feel we're in a posture to make a hard, fast decision, but that's where we're leaning, is that's where we feel we need to go at this point, is to push it down and see if that's where it needs to stay. Your men's response to that this week will dictate a lot as to where it stays. So I think each one of the DDs, in terms of meeting with their FDs, have been instructed to move in that direction, and that was the reason, as Chef pointed out, that Ray has had the opportunity to meet with his guys a couple of times, work through things, and likewise with Paul in the process of that.
Okay, as we work through the week, I'm sure that this entire area of roles will be addressed a number of times in your discussion groups, and then we'll try to come up with a finalized summary of your view on the roles of the DD, the FD, and the area supervisor as a minimum by the end of the week. Joyce has spoken briefly to this note here under clarifying roles that the women do feel a need to ensure the development of women's reps. Would any of the women that were in that group like to further comment on that need?
I think, and perhaps it's just because the Western Division is reorganizing in a new way, I think right now the women's work is on hold because the women don't know the direction. They don't know who to talk to when they have a question. I think also some of us are a little demotivated in recruiting women right now because we don't know what the future is for women. I think some of the philosophy has been that we'll let them go at age 35 because there really is no future. When a woman reaches her greatest competency, there doesn't seem to be a role for her in the navigators. And I think that's something that needs to be considered. And the young women looking in realize that women don't have much of a career plan or opportunity, and today's woman is looking for that. she's willing to commit herself to something if we had a clear sound for them. They're very career-oriented.
I see they're right down the line here. Okay, Jody?
Well, I've been really encouraged in the Central Division because of the special meetings that we've had on women's consultation to discuss women involved in ministry. And I feel like the Central Division has come up with some guidelines that are very encouraging for using women in ministry. And we've been investigating how we can really give more opportunities to our women. And I feel that we have set some guidelines that are very encouraging. And I feel now, too, that I'm more excited about recruiting women to work with the Navigators because of some of these guidelines that we have set. And I know Ray has, that there will always be two women that will meet with the Central Division leadership team. And not just give input on women's issues, but also give input on other decisions that are made that really do affect women as well.
Any other comments?
Roger, I wonder if she could elaborate on two or three of those things that have been encouraging to her recently that's encouraged her to be more free at recruiting girls to the Navigators.
I feel that we've really been focusing on women and men co-laboring together, and there has not been just the emphasis of the women always serving the men, and we've been encouraging our men to listen to the women, and many of our men, I believe, have come to see through experience the value in that they can gain in listening to the women as they plan for the ministry. And just this whole area of co-laboring together and, you know, thinking together and has been really encouraging. And the interest that our men are taking in just shepherding the women in areas. And granted, we still have a few problem areas, and a lot of it goes back to, I think, the background of the staff man. But I'm really encouraged, and I think a lot of our women are encouraged by the way the women are being looked out for and are given opportunities to speak. And we're not interested in making decisions, but we would like to be able to give input on different levels. Harvey, do you have any other?
Beth, you wanted to make a comment? Don up front here.
I think one thing that would be very helpful to develop our people, even to getting them to the point of being women's reps, is to think in terms of job descriptions that are different than the traditional. As we stand now, we have two basic things. One is a collegiate ministry, and one is some kind of a community ministry that involves a lot of organization and involves a lot of ambiguity, and usually it has no counterpart. By that I mean the single men's ministry in most areas is in a different place than where the single women are. And if we would broaden our thinking to let people be on staff without having to be big organizers, I think that we could recruit a lot more women to stay. And another thing I think it's important is the thing that I have observed happening, and that is assisting women with their fundraising. I think most people realize that we have harder times than the men do, and nobody can seem to put their finger on why. My pastor told me when I asked him for help, I said, what would be your advice on how I can go and raise finances? And he says, well, the first thing you'll have to realize is that middle-aged women have very little credibility. People are looking for charisma, and most middle-aged women aren't very charismatic. And I said, what should I do, stand up and sing and dance? And he said, no. He says, just don't get discouraged. And I really appreciated that because he helped me face reality. But I think that if we would address this and let the women know that everything is not totally up to them, because, you see, we have two things. On one side, we have no authority, but on the other side, we have all the responsibility. And that's a catch-22 situation. So I think the trend that is being taken is very helpful, and I see it as a positive thing.
Any other comments or questions? This next item under question three on acknowledge and define the need for local administrative support was to the effect that the idea of trying to centralize all administration at headquarters is a pipe dream. We need to recognize the need for localized administrative support of some kind. Now, maybe if that came up in two or three groups, or if that was something that your group discussed, several of you could expand on that a bit, because I think it would be helpful. Okay, Dave.
I could understand the need to acknowledge the need for that administrative support, but I guess the question I would have is how could the U.S. define what that needed to be? And if we did that at the U.S. level, wouldn't that be getting back to what we were talking about a while ago in determining what your needs are? And which seems also that it would be moving in the direction of centralization if we did that. So I think I could see how we could acknowledge, but I would question, I guess, the defined part of it. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
This is something that Bob DeHaan and I have been working on. Denny Williams, who came to be with us, has been extremely helpful in lifting this load. Now, you may think of administration as being primarily the kind of things that headquarters is involved in, but that's not true in the field. There's a tremendous amount of correspondence and coordinating that has to go on. If the field director is expected to do all of that by himself, then he sacrifices some of the things that he needs to be able to do to be the spiritual leader that we expect him to be as a shepherd and as a steward of the vision. So I am a staunch proponent of having an administrative structure co-laboring alongside of the field leadership in order to lift that load. I don't want to have to think about a lot of those. Sitting here in this meeting, for example, I've come up with about a half a dozen things that I can have Denny working on even while I'm here. I'll call him tonight and have him working on a half a dozen things that have come into my mind that will help me to be more effective as the spiritual leader of the region.
Over here. Let's see. Scott, how about you, then Gary?
I just had a question. I guess it's to Terry. What is the USLT's view of what Rod was talking about, of an area rep or even a contact staff having a secretary, administrative help, different admin staff like that? I get the idea that we're supposed to keep things kind of lean and trim, and that's going to get us back into the grass, but I think I'm more inclined to go along with what Rod said, that if you can get the staff help down at the lower level, the staff will be more free to get in the grass.
Well, I think when we thought of decentralizing and going from five regions to 17 and realizing the implication of trying to clarify the new roles, that we're not talking about taking the new field director and making a regional director job out of it, nor are we making it a state director's job. It is a brand new job. And it would be much better to grow into that than to assume some kind of model that had previously been there i.e. the RD model or the SD model, which it's neither. And it would be much wiser to grow into those needs and make sure the needs are there than just to multiply three times the number of administrative facilities that we had across the U.S. I don't think any of us, when we are using the statement as members of the USLT of centralizing administration, I don't think any of us are thinking to pull all administration up and pull all ministry down. It's simplistic and it's not real. The thought behind that is shifting the thinking to say what can we shift up to get off of the field director and free him up to do and have more time to be involved in the ministry. And so it's the things that we can push up. Let's try and do it. That which we can't, we need to figure out a way to handle that within the region. So I think those would be the thoughts. Maybe the three DDs have any one of you guys have a comment on that?
Jeff, is this related to that?
Yes, it was more related to his first remark. We can go back there first.
Okay, let me go to Gary and then back to you.
I just wanted some clarification on the area supervisor level. Was there a tentative decision made that they wouldn't use support help? Or is there something that's set up on that now, or... is that still up for grabs in terms of...
I'll let your divisional director speak to that one. Do you need to clarify?
But you and I have a private conversation later on.
Let me just say that on that level also, it seems like we need to take each case by itself and consider it possibly.
What are some of the divisions doing?
I don't think we've hit that question yet at the area supervisor's level. But I think both for the FD and the area supervisor, I'm not sure that we can make an across-the-board statement that we should or we shouldn't have administrative support. I think, you know, if you do that, then an FD who may not need it and may not operate by that style may be wondering, am I doing something wrong? You know, I'm not operating that way. I think we should let each case, like Gary mentioned, if a man needs it to be more effective, then let him have it if it's going to make him more effective, whether he's an area supervisor or a field director. Whatever he needs to be more to do his job better, then give it to him.
Any other thoughts, Paul?
I just like the idea that we're walking into it and carefully watching and thinking through it rather than coming up with some type of policy. I think that would be detrimental and be a backstep. I feel what we've done in our region is come up with what I feel and the fellows then, as we talked about it, some basic administrative support that every FD needs. And we've clarified that, and we're committing ourselves to get the money and material that is needed to maintain that basic level. The step of the area supervisor, I think we'd be very hesitant at this point to want an area supervisor to have a secretary because we want him to be so ministry focused. But there again, we're not going to strongly categorize that, but we would certainly want to make sure that there's very clear justification for it.
Darrell?
Just to confirm that, I know feedback we got from surveys that it was very important to the field staff that the man closest to them, which would be the area supervisor, not be involved in administration. Now, that may be a desire we cannot fulfill totally, but I think in coming up with the concept of embracing the area supervisor, that was certainly one of the desires that the task force was moving toward, that we would keep administration at that level as, you know, as minimal, so minimal that it would be absorbed at other levels. So I think that is in keeping what Paul is saying with what we were understanding the area reps were saying.
Okay. So, yeah, we had a very definite word from that area rep survey in regard to administration. One of the reasons we have taken a day to work on shepherding and a day to work on stewardship is because there's a certain tension between the two of them. And again, as we move through the week and then come to an evaluation of what the role should be, we'll be taking into account these tensions that exist. Jeff?
Most of what I wanted to clarify, Roger, has been by Daryl and Paul. In our discussion group, in the time we spent on this issue, which was considerable, we didn't have in view the area supervisor or area representatives needing admin support, and we're not saying that we eliminate that either in our thinking. The focus was on the field director for two reasons. One was because the area supervisor preferably has his own target to be concentrating on as a model, and his span of control idealistically would be narrow. I know it's not that way for many people. That would be the desire. The second reason has to do with the nature of the field director's job. Even though we haven't defined that role in a lot of areas, we do know that some of the shepherding needs that fall on his shoulders to fulfill require the kinds of involvement with his staff that will remove some of this relationship vacuum, and that his job, in a sense, is like the old regional director in that he is a focus for some administrative tasks, yet he also has this relationship load or relationship burden. And what we had hopefully wanted to provide, as Paul briefly described, was some people and technology to remove much of this administrative load from him, freeing him up to spend the 80% of his time handling the relationship load. And that's why our focus in the discussion was on the field director, and we didn't touch on the others at all.
Okay. Let's let me touch on item 5 under question 3, which one group simply said we need some clarification on the authority relationship between the field directors and the community a church discipleship ministry, regional directors. Would someone like to define more clearly where they see the problems so that those can be addressed?
Sometimes there are community ministry staff who are working in individual churches, and you know that's great. We think that's terrific. And other times there are church discipleship ministry people working in other churches, and it seemed to me that we probably need to just kind of bring that issue up, that that's going to be happening and it probably is happening, and that you know there's cooperation and working together on that, that if a state field director, is he responsible for geography? Is that all his responsibility? You know, or is he responsible for where the ministry already exists? So therefore, there would be churches and ministries out in places where there isn't any community ministry, that the church discipleship people perhaps would be working in some of those places. I just thought it could become a little sticky issue, so I thought I'd just like to kind of have it brought out in the open.
Okay, fine. Jack, I know that this is, the whole CDM is still in process in some areas. Are there any other things that you would like to comment on?
Not other than the fact that I feel that we are very much aware of the problem and are in the process of dialoguing at the USLT level on it. And frankly, I don't think it's a major issue that needs to concern us. I think we can work our way through it, and it can work very smoothly and cooperatively, and further the navigator work in the kingdom of God.
I'd like to say amen to that. And one of the things I'm fearful of, anytime you branch out in a new enterprise like this, for us navigators, what we want to do is get all of our ducks in order, define the authority and the boundaries, and screw the thing down so tightly that it will have no freedom to survive. And I think we're going to have to learn to live with a lot of ambiguity if we want to take some risk and initiatives. And so I feel like, there are a lot of unresolved questions concerning the CDM ministries and so on. But one of the worst things I think we could do is to try and get all the theoretical problems lined up, come up with policies, screw the thing down tightly, and then figure we'll have no more conflict or whatever. I think we should just give it some free rein for a year or so and deal with the issues as they surface.
I just wanted to hit that in passing. Don?
Yeah, I think just one additional comment. I sure agree principally with what Chef and Jack says. I think the primary comment and concern I would have is simply a communication issue. And I realize anytime you go into a new endeavor that there's going to be that transition time. And I think the main thing we both need to be committed to, both being the FDs and the CDM RDs, is the need for clear communications.
Okay. Let's move to our next section, which was question 4. Are there any adjustments, or what adjustments should be made in organizational demands? And you'll see from this composite synthesis that one of the primary things that emerged would be under the heading of carefully evaluating leadership decisions in terms of, is this usurping authority at the next level down or from a person that they really ought to have? Things came out like, seriously consider the input. In other words, not just let them say something to make them feel better, but genuinely go to get their views on things with having that affect or shape decisions. A group said they felt some people felt a pressure to get missionaries out. And I use the word quota here, which was not in the statement itself, to try to condense what they were saying. But it appeared that there's a sense of pressure to produce that's brought down from the top. Where I've got be radical in the use of meetings, the several threads came through on the fact that maybe we ought to just cancel all meetings and then carefully look at what meetings really must take place to facilitate the progress of the ministry. Create an atmosphere where the area rep is free to be creative. One statement was the leaders have great freedom to be creative, but in so doing, they often take away some liberty and flexibility from the area rep to exercise creativity. This last comment on DDs, be careful not to usurp FD authority in their communications, related to DD dear staffs, where the DD may say something in his letter that appears to be a decision or a direction or whatever, where he has taken ministry initiative away from, or leadership initiative away from the field director in so doing. So those were the kinds of things that came out under this thing of leadership decisions and communications. Now, perhaps some of you would like to speak to that. Okay, I assume that's clear then.
I got a question on that last one that you mentioned.
And what is either the balance or the conflict between the DD as responsibility to uphold certain values, certain basic beliefs, certain aim, and carrying a tone like that in communication, and FDs who may feel that that is usurping authority when you highlight certain things or you emphasize or you put a value in certain things? Or what is meant here by the conflict of usurping authority?
I don't know. Whose group?
Ray, I would think it's only a question on things that aren't, that haven't been decisions. Where maybe the FDs and the DDs have not made decisions on things, and the DD could speak to something and people could take it to be a decision. But if it's something everybody's agreed on and working together on, I don't see how it could be a problem.
See, underlying this, it seems to me, is that we're back to roles and focal point of ministry leadership. If it's the DD, for example, should they be writing these communications? Or should it be the FD? That's a change in administrative load. But there's some things inherent in this that relate to roles and responsibilities.
Another subject.
Okay, Jack, go ahead.
I'm not exactly sure what is meant here by missionary quote, quota, unquote, pressure. For some of us who have been around for a while, we can remember the days when there was a quota. And it was very uncomfortable. We never met it. And finally decided to do away with it. But the whole picture worldwide is getting to the place where we are going to have to be very creative in our whole missionary endeavor. More countries are closing to the traditional missionary. And if there is any pressure felt among our staff, and, of course, this is speaking particularly to the area rep, what more authority given to the area rep. I would hope that every area rep in the Navigators would feel a pressure to get people overseas, but not coming from the leadership above, but coming from the Great Commission and from the Lord. And if he can't go or she can't go, then to be in the process of raising up people who can and will, in one way or another, whether it's through our allocation system or the MA program or getting them out with other mission boards, whatever. I personally feel that the Navigators are at a place in our history where we literally, and I don't think I, in my own mind, I'm not over-exaggerating, where we literally could influence evangelical missions worldwide because of the people that we're producing in our ministry. But we got to have a vision to do that, and we got to feel a pressure from the Lord to do that. And so I hope the pressure never lets up. I hope God never lets us off the hook on that, not one of us who is an area rep. End of sermon. I just, you know, had a little urge there. And
amen.
Yeah.
Okay, let me just note, under question four, number three, measure more than numbers. If you have any input, Bob Sheffield is heading up a task force to evaluate the entire reporting procedure in the U.S. ministry. And so we are looking at that as an item. And the problem with numbers is that if you only see the numbers, they become the hard reality, and all the other realities tend to get obscured. And so, but if you want to speak specifically to that, here's the man, and corner him and give him your sermon or whatever you'd like him to hear on that particular issue of reporting. We've talked a little bit about the need for administrative help, particularly at the field director level, and this is just another comment on that. One group, interestingly enough, asked if the community work had enough demands on it. Perhaps they would like to speak to that, just to clarify, and those who are in the community may want to respond to that.
That's my input.
I don't know what they're speaking to. It was a statement. I think it was Jerry White's group.
Why does this provide separate administrative structure? Which plans don't have a job?
Yes, it was page 8 on the top, the third line. So, anybody from Jerry White's group want to speak to that?
That probably isn't worded the best. Gets a person's attention. I suppose one thought there on the demands would be there needs to be some kind of an evaluation done U.S.-wide by an impartial task force or something to identify where we are in the community ministries, what is happening that's going well, how do we define a community ministry as distinct from the new ministries that are starting up with churches. And so just some definition there in terms of are we really making our strokes count in the community. Maybe we do need to ask more, but ask it specifically from the community staff. On the other side of it, if we are going to really evangelize the lost and reach non-Christian pagan families for Christ that know nothing about the Bible and have totally messed up their family and lives, the follow-up, establishing and all involved in those cases, takes a tremendous amount of energy and time. And on the other side of it, there's a need for, it's going to be a much longer process if we do really do start reaching people, converting a number of people in the community. But the main thing is that, just a need for evaluation of community ministries, I think.
Does anyone from a community context want to speak to that? Ron?
I guess a question I have, even around the work, is what do we mean by community ministries? I know... in our situation in Chicagoland, in fact, I wrote a question down here. I wanted to, I need to talk to Jack and the guys more on the church discipleship thing. A person like myself, when I think of the community ministry, I find it very difficult to separate the church from the community. And I have a tremendous burden for the church, and my desire is to raise up equippers for the church. And so... And then you have the church discipleship ministry. So I think there is a lot that has to be done in just clarifying what it is that we're talking about when we talk about the community ministry. I don't necessarily see the community ministry in the same light as we would, you know, a typical collegiate ministry or something. It's not an entity in itself. So when I think of strategies and I think of the whole area of evaluation, that whole thing and where we're going, I think it is a. Personally, I think it's a much larger issue than we're making it. Maybe I shouldn't say it's not a larger. I think that there is a lot to be done there that that we have to just talk about, talk through, and we probably do need a task force that I think would they might even not include the community ministry people, but would include the church discipleship people, so that we can really work. I see that we need to work as a team in this thing somehow, and I have no desire whatsoever to squelch or where we're going. I'm very, very excited, but I still see the need, particularly in a particular city of some kind, to have some kind of coordination, and I think Jack's already spoken to that, and I agree, and I think we're moving in the right direction, but I think we do need some more, a lot more work on that.
Ron.
People keep asking what is the difference between CDM and community ministry, and I think there are two issues that are very clear at this point, and maybe a community ministry will clarify as we go along over the months and the years. One is that community ministry staff are held accountable for the statistics, and they do a direct ministry. A CDM person is freed from that in order to take initiatives, try new things, give time to leaders of denominations, that sort of thing. The second issue is the percentage of time that they give to helping churches. A few years ago we went through the thing, we will not assign staff to be a part of a church staff. And so part of our thinking in CDM has been, let's go in and help their people do it. And so community ministry staff are a big part of that. So 1 year, a community ministry staff person may give 80% of their time to working with churches, 20% to direct ministry. The next year, it could be 50%, 50%. The next year, it could be 90% direct ministry, 10% church ministry. But the CDM people are giving 100% of their time each year to try to find other ways to impact the church. NAV Press had some research done in the Christian community, and 9% of the evangelical community knew the Navigators. 9%. But of those 9%, it was something like 99% of those thought we were great. So, you know, those who know us think we're great. And so CDM are hoping to launch out and open a lot more public relations doors, broaden that base, and just go nuts on broadening the base where CDM will be more accountable for production.
Okay, this is exactly what I'm saying right here. See, this is very encouraging. First time I've ever heard anything like this in 9 years of being in the community ministry. And I think we need this kind of thing. See, that's very, very encouraging. It clarifies a lot. But we need that kind of interaction and cooperation. And it's like we're going in a different direction, but yet a lot of us have already been going in that direction to a degree. And then here we have a whole separate ministry, which is really going to enhance everything else we're doing. But there's a lot of work that needs to be done, I think, in the whole area of communication and that's exciting to me.
Okay, I'd like to move us to the next question from there. Any adjustments that we should make in the decision-making process, I think we've spoken to, and the synthesis was really summarizes some of the things we've already talked about, maybe defines them a little more clearly. We want to ensure that the people that are affected by a decision are involved in the decision. That seemed to come through in a number of ways through the groups. And then as part of that, there seemed to be a need to clarify the process of decision making. That is, when do I contribute to what decisions and who actually has the authority to decide? those were two basic things that came out of that thing on the decision-making process. Are there any comments or further question on that? We've touched on that in a number of ways through our discussion already. Yes, Beth?
I would like to ask if this will... Are you speaking now just to the men in this room, or are you also speaking to the women?
I'm speaking to what came out of the groups.
Okay. Because this is one of the issues that in our representation, when other decisions have been made and we haven't been involved in the process, then we live with the result of it. And I'm wondering if this was spoken to, or if you're assuming this means only the men in the room.
I'm not assuming anything, Beth.
Very good.
That's why we're having this consultation. Okay. Question 6 had to do with any other things that you felt you needed to speak to. At least 4 things came out of that. A desire to see us renew, revitalize our vision. Somebody said, well, vision comes from time in the Word. Let's encourage our staff to be in the Word. And vision also comes when the leadership keeps that as a focal point and an emphasis. The second thing had to do with what we would call being focused on the audience instead of taking our program to people, finding out where people are and what the needs are, and then tailoring things to those needs. And the thought was that the area reps, the field staff, the people that are out there ministering are the true experts in knowing what the needs are, and so we need to hear them, and as well as be in touch with what's going on in our culture around us. The third thing was that the leaders themselves need to emphasize a personal life of godliness and to emphasize that in their communication, contact, relationships with their staff, and to make their focus on the person more than the ministry. And then finally, we've addressed a number of times through our discussions today, there are issues that must be more clearly identified and resolved related to the women's work, and the women and at least one other group said there's a need for just clarifying our national philosophy for women. Are there any comments you'd like to make in regard to these items? Yes. Anything you'd like to speak to, Norm?
I'd like to make an observation related to the whole discussion this afternoon. Frankly, I've really not been able to get my mind in gear on most of the things we've discussed. It seems like there have been a number of issues that just surface here and there, and I've been trying to scatter through my notes and find out where in the world are we. And I wanted to comment that I applaud you on the tremendous work of getting this thing together so rapidly and synthesizing the comments that have been made by the various groups. But I've really been lost in this whole thing, and I'm wondering if we ought not to think through this in terms of our next discussion. I, for instance, would have been able to contribute a lot more if we'd have just taken this summary page that you've led us through, these questions, and had our groups just discuss those issues. For instance, we took the summarized issues and needs and spent a lot of time on prioritizing and then saw how a number of those things could be reduced and pulled under just one or two issues. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how the rest of the gang feels, but I've really been lost in this thing this afternoon.
Okay, thanks, Norm. My next question was going to be, do you have any suggestions on how we might work on this to make it a facilitating thing to get these things out and to deal with them?
Yeah, I really agree with that. And I think it seems that we've kind of lost the impetus that we started with particularly as related to some of the things Terry shared. And you know, we did the same thing in Ray's group, and we had just a great, great discussion on this page, and just excellent. And I was kind of, I've been waiting for that to get to that, and it's 4:15.
Yes.
So it just seems like the emphasis has been more on organization, you know, decentralizing and so forth, rather than on the issue of revival and the vision and so forth. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if we're going to get an opportunity to speak to that, but I would agree with that anyway.
Okay, thanks. That's help, and I appreciate it.
Roger, I have one question.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
On the last item, identify and resolve issues in the women's work, clarify national philosophy for women. I would imagine that that came out of the women's group. It didn't, huh? Well, it should have.
It did as well.
Yeah, it did. It may have come out of another one, too, but... I think the question that I would like to ask, and I'm certainly not expecting an answer in this session, but it seems to me to be... if we could get an answer to this question, we might be able to make some progress in this. We've been trying to do it for 25 years. We haven't seemed to get very far. But perhaps the women are the ones to answer it. But my question is, what is the one thing, that could be done that would do for the women's work more than anything else to put it ahead, to allow it to have the freedom, the flexibility, to be able to take the initiatives, to have the creativity, all of which are certainly latent within many of the gals that we've got in the work. What is the one thing that we, the navigators, could do that would free all that up? I don't have the answer, but I think it would be worth considering.
I have to hitchhike on Beth's questions to you a while ago, which obviously you didn't answer her question. And I'm not sure I'd have wanted to either, particularly.
Well, it is the reason
right.
I did that, it's not mine to answer, it's
I understand
yours
that.
To answer.
But I think if we're going to really be open, I wonder if Beth left that point a little frustrated. I don't know. And felt like, well, maybe I'm still back where I started. And maybe the one question is involves more. She spoke up, you know, when it came to the decision-making process. And the question she asked is, does that relate to just the men or the women? And it seems to, go back to question 5, clarify the process. When do I contribute and who actually decides? It seems to me that the women feel a need to have, you know, more input into the decision-making process, and that's probably the first step. Now, I realize saying that in every area, every region, every division, nation and country, tongue and tribe, that there are varying degrees of effectiveness in that or actual working out of that. So there's no blanket statement to that.
Let me hitchhike on that, Norm. What we're attempting to do in this session is clarify, understand, and get a view for what's the broad cross-section. Where you're headed now with your divisional departmental groups is to say, okay, we've heard a lot of things, but for us, what do we need to be doing? And so I'm not trying to get any necessary answers in concrete here because I feel it's not our job, but we do need to hear one another's concerns and then figure out, all right, how do we deal with those?
Roger, just a comment from where I felt the same frustration that Norm and Don expressed here this afternoon. I felt that the task this morning was to take the residue of the task force issues that had not been clearly spoken to, that were still left dangling, and to decide were they relevant issues that we needed to deal with. And so that's why we took the 13 issues, and we had a lot of fun and good discussion, tried to combine some of those. I felt then that when we got into the questions, that in a sense that led us into a lot of detail and into a different direction.
Okay. So
that's where my frustration
came this
afternoon.
That's helpful. I think what I'll need to do is meet with the group leaders, and we'll work on the process to make sure that we're tracking where these guys are. Okay, Don?
Yeah, I think just one further comment and observation, Roger. I think the frustration may have been felt from the questions that you developed, because clearly the questions that you developed had implications strictly to organizational issues, mm-hmm. and not the spiritual issues. Mm-hmm. And so you may need to look through your questionings that you have made up and created under the shepherding and the stewardship, mm-hmm. and to make sure that we're not dealing with just simply the organizational implications of that.
Yes.
I think that's the frustration I felt.
Okay, excellent. Appreciate the comment. And let's see, Chuck, you're way in the back. Would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Was there no answer to Jack's question?
On the women, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not expect
I thought
that.
It was more rhetorical,
yeah,
right?
It was a rhetorical
to be question. Dealt with.
Well, I saw some people writing the question down, which is all I wanted.
Chuck, particularly related to these last comments on making this what it needs to be, if you'd pray for that as well as the application in the groups, I'd appreciate it.
Father, we are very grateful for the leading of the Holy Spirit, because you have promised us that you will lead us and you will teach us. And so right now, we want to bow our hearts before you and ask that the Holy Spirit would pull together what we have been attempting to do and give us that special anointing and wisdom that we need. That this last hour and a half will have not been in vain, but from it we might pull together and glean new insights and be able to reconstruct where we are, the issues that we must focus our attention on. And so, our God, we thank you so much that we can leave here not frustrated. We do not need to leave disappointed, but very confident that you are in charge. And even this has been a plus factor for us. Thank you, our God, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.